Welcome to the Midday for a Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland. Quiz question comes your way at 12:30, commonality as promised. And between now and then, among other things, what's wrong with me? Love, phobias, and other ailments. Well, that's the name of a concert, actually. Oh, that could be the name of an ensemble, too, now that I think of it. But it's the name of a concert that's taking place in a music hall in Madison, UW-Madison, Sunday night. That's November 8th, and performing for the occasion will be something that's old, but it's also new, and that's the new Hyperion Orchestra with ringleader Carlos Moser, and some of the group is here to perform Americana, three or four songs.
Yes, indeed. And not only the full Hyperion, but prepared by Rick Mackey, who with me founded it 41 years ago. Rick is turning over his drum duties to an undergraduate.
Oh, really?
And it's called new because we will have new blood. We have two high school players, three or four undergraduates, one graduate, and even some young professionals. So we still have that wonderful cache of music between 1901 and 1939, of which we'll do five numbers. But we are preceded by the new Hyperion Jazz Babies, a smaller group.
Okay. Promises to be a lively mix there. And you have some tunes here, I would say, although one or two of the composers might be household words, the actual tunes that you have brought with you are a little bit further off the beaten
path. Yes, we certainly do have some of the great songbook writers like Porter and Gershwin. But we also have some, what we might say, novelty writers like Oscar Brand and Billy Mayerl, not too well known, but they all deal with songs of troubles we may have, of mental or physical.
Plenty of material.
Plenty of material, all the way from swollen feet to obsessions and intolerance.
Okay, does that apply to, I can see the swollen feet, maybe, coming out in the McBurney Square Dance?
Yes, the McBurney Square Dance, of all things. Actually, that has to do with appendicitis.
Oh, right.
Yes.
But of course, how
another
I not
trouble,
know?
Right? And that's because Charles McBurney, the great Philadelphia surgeon of the late 1800s, when anesthesia helped us really take care of appendicitis, he developed and did many incisions in a square in the lower abdomen to take out the appendix. So in honor of that McBurney Square, Oscar Brand has written the McBurney Square Dance, which tells about an appendectomy, which we will now sing for you. Wash your hands and keep them dry. Keep them clean and keep them high. When you're sure that you are able, promenade up to the table and get that appendix legged bare. You're doing the McBurney Square. Now drape that patient neat and tight. Bear the quadrant of the lower right. Do-si-do and careful all as you make an incision in that wall. Right hand under if you dare, you're doing the McBurney Square. Now drape that knife blade with a toss along the muscles, not across. With your fingers then induce a peritoneum to work loose. You mustn't rip and you mustn't tear, doing the McBurney Square. When the cavity's been breached, the cecum and the appendix reached, put a purse string suture on the base and sprinkle gauze pads round the place. Duck for the oyster, I declare, you're doing the McBurney Square. With a peritoneal cuff inside, crush ligate and then divide. Swing your partner, I'll swing mine, and paint the stump with iodine. Now force it back again with care, doing the McBurney Square. Tie the purse string very tight, suture the peritoneum right. Let those muscles settle in, then count the pads and close the skin. Salute your patient, collect your fee, you've done the appendectomy. And, of course, something like a square dance needs fiddling. Yes. Our fiddlist, Rebecca Mackey,
that's right,
has joined us in the operation.
In the operation. Well, that should be required listening for all medical students,
I think,
Carlos.
So.
And kudos to you for keeping up with the words, too. Not the easiest lyrics to convey there.
So, I had never known about a peritoneum before, I must admit.
Well, now it's become very important, believe me.
It has.
So that was McBurney's Square Dance by Oscar Brand. Not, by the way, the only medical piece of music. I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to call it a tradition, but way back in the French Baroque, Marin Marais wrote a tune about his gallbladder operation.
I didn't know that.
By play, and there are a couple of others scattered through music history,
yes,
too. So, you know, this is not totally out of the blue.
Well, taking liberty with what is medical or not, we are doing I've Got You Under My Skin. And if you think about
I hope the word dermatology is not in the lyrics.
No, but I grew up in Brazil where it was very serious what you got under your skin. And they were not usually lovers, I must admit. But we are happy that we can have songs like that. And actually, we will have some music students who are recipients of Opera Props scholarships singing also, not only me, I'm the one without a voice, but Nicole Heinen will sing I've Got You Under My Skin, and Fabian Kamar, who was recently in The Marriage of Figaro, will sing a Gershwin tune, because we are honoring also not only the Hyperion, but Opera Props, which we founded 35 years ago.
Wow. So quickly time flies. Well, you've mentioned Gershwin, Carlos, and this, although it's Gershwin, again, is a little bit off the beaten path. It's going to bring in trombonist Will Porter, and I should mention our pianist is Melinda Moser. And
yes,
it's got
and
a title
I say
that's a little blunt, I guess I'd say.
Well, I call it at a loss for words. Music is wonderful, and it can express a lot of emotions. And sometimes we don't even understand the words in opera, and yet we're moved.
That's right.
In the popular songs, I think Ira and George Gershwin realized that they could sometimes substitute words with just blah, blah.
Well, yeah, and do-do-do, they just say di-di-di-di-dum-dum-dum. Yeah, you fill in your own words. Yeah, right.
So this wonderful song from 1931 is by Ira and George Gershwin. I've written you a song, a beautiful routine. I hope you like it. My technique can't be wrong. I learned it from the screen. I hope you like it. I studied all the rhymes that all the lovers sing. Then just for you, I wrote this little thing. And it goes, blah, 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 moon, blah, 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 above, blah, 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 croon, blah, 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 love, tra-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la, merry month of May, tra-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la, neath the clouds of gray. Blah, 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 your hair, blah, 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 your eyes, blah, 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 care, blah, 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 skies, tra-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la, cottage for two, blah, 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 darling with you.
Mr. Moser?
Yes, Will.
I'm terribly sorry to interrupt. I was listening to your song, and it is a lovely song. Only I was wondering, rather than blah, 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 could it not be wah, wah, wah?
A trombone doing wah, wah? Well, let's try it. Moon above. Croon. Love, tra-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la, merry month of May. 'Neath the clouds of gray, your hair, your eyes. Care skies. Cottage for two.
Well, I guess I'd say congratulations for mastering those lyrics, too. They're kind of the other extreme of the appendectomy lyrics. And the name of that, Blah Blah, aptly titled, by George and Ira Gershwin. And featuring trombonist Will Porter there doing the wah-wah part of it. Now, about this next one, Carlos, the title of it, does this predate the music form that it seems to be referring to?
Which one?
Rock and roll. I don't want to rock and roll.
I don't want to rock and roll. I taught opera here for 36 years and through Rick became acquainted with popular music, you might say, of the early 20th century. But I never got as far as rock and roll.
Uh-huh.
And I did not grow up in the time when it implanted itself on me. I hear rock and roll all the time and I completely forget it. And I think Maury Yeston, who taught music theory at Yale, pin this down really quite a bit, and I want to sing for you that I don't want to rock and roll. No, 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 no. I don't want to rock and roll no more. That music does nothing for me. I can take about an hour before I go sour, but I gotta have my Debussy. You know I go stark, staring crazy whenever I hear Pergolesi. And Monteverdi has so much soul that I don't wanna rock and roll. No, 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 no. I don't like that hip-hop rap no more. That music doesn't take me home. But Boccherini, Sammartini, Paganini, and Rossini drive me higher than the Pini di Rome. You know nothing could be finer than a lyric by Goethe or Heine. So ironic and teutonically droll that I don't want to rock and roll. I'm gonna boycott all the radio stations that won't play the Goldberg variations. Don't wanna hear a grunt, don't wanna hear a groan, unless it's been recorded by Deutsche Grammophon. Dee, 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 dee. I gotta have Bach if I wanna cut loose, and also Sprach, my man Zarathus. And I think Chopin was a hell of a Pole, but I don't want to rock and roll. No, no, I don't want to rock and roll.
Well, sounds like you had been listening to Tom Lehrer to me.
Tom Lehrer also is of a certain period, and he managed to make fun of a lot of things. Yeah. In fact, I wanted to do some of his songs here, but I felt that they mostly went too far.
Yeah, yes, some of them are a little
on the dark
side.
They may be for appropriate for a party or for something like that.
Yes.
So we do have some party songs. But the other thing that I wanted to mention, the songs that bring in people like Will Porter, who actually have taken advantage of our tickets, because Melinda and I have a ticket fund whereby we give free opera tickets to students.
Yeah,
and
idea.
That has grown now after 10 years to where we give about 80 a year, Milwaukee, Madison, and Chicago. And so I'm delighted that Will showed me a different side of Tosca. He said, oh, Tosca, it's got wonderful trombone licks. And I had never thought of it that way. So not only singers, but instrumentalists have done so.
Once upon a time, there was a performer, I don't remember his name anymore, who told the whole Cinderella story with spoonerisms,
oh.
You know, flipping the beginnings of the words around. And you got some rather what shall we say, edgy. you start talking about Cinderella dropped her slipper and that kind of thing.
Right,
some rather comic turns of phrase.
And spoonerisms can be perfect, both meaning words, like make their beds, become bake their meds.
Right.
Or they can be half and half, like he worked far and sigh instead of he searched far and wide. Or they can be simply non-words at all, like two suggly isters.
Yes, right. That's right.
But that did lead me to
the Pransom Hints.
Well, yes, the Pransom Hints. And I was troubled by spoonerisms not only as a youngster, but even when I was conducting orchestras, preparing them for operas. I actually addressed the lower strings as belly and chases once instead of celli and basses. Mm-hmm. But it was all right because afterwards we had a party and we had cook and punchies.
that would fix it all.
And setting it to music I like a little better than simply telling the story, because in a way spoonerisms are a low form of humor, maybe a little higher than puns.
Mm, perhaps.
But when you set it to music, the music gives it an emotional contrast, context that makes bigger contrast to the stupidity of the words.
which sometimes is required.
And, shall I try it?
Yeah, so this is called Prinderella and the Synths.
Prinderella and the Synths. Once upon a time, there was a gritty little pearl called Cinderella. Her mother had died, and she lived with her stick-and-web mother and two suggly sisters. She had to do all the work around the house and care for her sisters. Wasn't that a shirty dame? She had to shine their shoes, brush their hair, bake their meds, cook their breakfast, fix their lunch, and serve their dinner. At the end of the day, poor Cinderella was woefully torn out. All she could do was sit by the fireplace and fry and fry. Wasn't that a shirty dame? One day the king issued a proclamation, announcing a drancy best fall and inviting all the curls of the kingdom to meet his only son and heir, the Pransom Hints. Of course, the two sisters went to the ball. And here I have a footnote. In all the research I've done about this story of the sisters, I never have found out whether they were sin twisters. And Cinderella stayed at home to sit by the fireplace and fry and fry. Wasn't that a shirty dame? But suddenly her Gary Fod mother appeared and waved her wand, and Cinderella found that she had on a dutiful dress, a diamond tiara, and on her feet she saw a parling dare of glass slippers. What joy! But the fairy warned her she had to be home on the moke of Stridnight, or all would disappear. Cinderella said yes, yes, and looked in the mirror. What a sight! So she bent to the wall, and everybody marveled at her beauty. She met the dints, and they pranced and pranced. She knew the fairy's warning to be home on the moke of Stridnight, or all would disappear. But she forgot the time and danced and danced. So on the moke of Stridnight, she fled the palace steps, and on the bottom step, she slopped her dripper. Wasn't that a shirty dame? But the prince sound the flipper, and he swore he'd find its owner. He lurched far and side, all the maidens of the kingdom slide on the tripper, but it fitted it. When the prince came to Cinderella's house, of course the two suggly sisters slide on the tripper, and it fitted it. But Cinderella foot her put in the slipper, and it fitted it.
So Prinderella and the Cinsmott garried, and hived happily ever after, treulich geführt. And if you tell this story well, you'll be the pipe of the lardy, the seat of the heathen, and the guest baffletter of all.
A tender ballad rendered by Carlos Moser
and Melinda Moser.
And Melinda Moser at the piano, Prinderella and the Cinths. And I think those are just some of the things you would hear during this concert Sunday night, November 8th.
Which is indeed a fundraiser, a benefit for our opera ticket fund, that which the Foundation of the University of Wisconsin supports.
Carlos, Melinda, and
thank you.
Thanks also to Will Porter and to Rebecca Mackey.
Excellent.
For sharing some Americana with us today. We'll get to the quiz question in a few minutes. And at hand, we have Richard Bonning with the National Philharmonic, and this from Chopin's Les Sylphides.